Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 right here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. And we're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, October 20th. 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
What's up? Hello.
And Jason Bishop
yes,
this
sir.
Morning.
What's up?
Play the sad music. It is another Misery Monday.
That'll be a fun one.
Has Misery Monday claimed Eric Bickle? Is he the first casualty?
What happened?
He has texted us that he took a wrong turn.
Took a wrong turn? What?
What? How do you not know? You should be able to get here blindfolded.
You should be able to drive here backwards blindfolded.
I don't know what to tell you. Here's a text, 5:57 a.m. Yeah. I missed a turn and then punched in wrong address.
Yeah.
I don't know why he needs to punch in the address.
Well, if there's traffic, you know, and you're going a different way, I can understand that. Like, if there's a backup somewhere, you need to take an alternate route.
But you need to punch in the final destination?
I mean, he should have had that probably in his ways to begin with, but Misery Monday claims his first victim right there.
Look, that guy.
Sitting in that seat.
Calling out Cowboys.
He's calling out Cowboys.
Breakfast
yeah.
sandwiches for the group.
He's overwatching CeeDee Lamb score.
Are you hungry, Valdez? Because we're getting breakfast.
I can make
sandwiches.
Myself hungry.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, look, it is a Misery Monday on The Fan presented by Chenega Mios. A 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. I was hopeful that the Commanders defense could do what the Bears did to the Cowboys. They couldn't. In fact, it was as bad a defensive performance as we've seen from this Commanders team in years.
It's pretty bad. Now, this is grasping a little bit, but the Cowboys basically do this to everybody at AT&T Stadium.
Well, that's what I said
They've
on Friday.
They've scored 40, 40, and now 44 on the Commanders in the three home games.
Yep.
So you basically just don't want to play Dallas at home.
And Dak Prescott may be a bad quarterback in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's a damn good quarterback in the regular season.
Well, he's a really good quarterback when he faces the Commanders.
So now his numbers are even better.
His numbers, yeah.
We went over those on Friday.
He added to his lore. With this performance.
Yep. And they might have the best two, you know, receiving tandem in the league. The way those guys are catching balls and getting open.
We'll be talking about it.
It was not a good day on many levels.
We'll be talking about it all morning, every angle. the number one target for fans is Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
Well, I know. It's been that way for a while. But yeah, yesterday just kind of magnified it.
Yep.
That game's in a huge spotlight.
He sucked. You can do whatever you want with him. Although the rest of the secondary sucked. So if you're going to throw Lattimore in there, make sure you're killing, you know, Quan Martin.
Yeah, I mean,
the entire secondary
sucked. If a team hangs 44 on you, yeah. Nobody was good.
Nobody was good.
Like, you're not going to hand out gold stars to anybody on the defense or the offense for that matter.
And by the way, Javonte Williams ran for 6 yards a carry.
Right.
So nobody, not one person on the defense was good yesterday.
No, and we haven't even mentioned that Jaden Daniels got hurt.
I know.
That's distressing.
That's the big one.
And there's a road trip to Kansas City. Kansas City basically went in and surgically dissected the Raiders yesterday.
They look like the Raiders, best team in football.
They look like a totally different team.
I think the Raiders ran 30 offensive plays in the game. In the entire game. Not in the half, in the whole game. The freaking Chiefs were basically taking a knee halfway through the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's the next opponent in their place.
On a Monday night.
So that is
where they rarely lose.
And you would guess Marcus Mariota starting. Like, is Jaden going to play?
I mean, we'll talk to Kime.
On a dinged up hamstring in a week?
I wouldn't think so.
MRI's today.
I would guess
MRI's
not.
Today, right?
I don't even care what the MRI says. Usually when guys suffer some sort of hamstring injury, they don't play
even if
the
it's
next
not,
week.
Even if it's not that serious.
They usually sit at least a week with some sort of hammy.
Think about this gauntlet they're getting ready to do. The Chiefs.
Yeah.
Then they have the Seahawks who are coming off of a bye. Mm-hmm. And then the Lions.
Right.
Yeah, well, and we talked
about
this.
Look good.
This month was especially tough.
This could be one of those seasons, you know, that just everything just went wrong at the wrong time, and the injuries are just absurd. I thought Debo was going to play. Not that that would have helped. I mean, Debo wouldn't have helped them.
I mean,
reduced
Debo is going to—he's not worth 22 points.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if Terry played, that wouldn't have helped.
The offensive issues are there. The running game is backed inconsistent. If you take a look at their running numbers the last couple weeks, they're not great.
Mm-mm.
But the defense is the major problem, and I don't know what they can do to fix it. I know there are going to be a bunch of people that are going to call into the show today and say, fire Joe Witt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that really going to do?
And they're going to say, bench Marshawn Lattimore. Okay, you can do that.
Right.
I mean, whoever you put in there behind him, he's going to suck too.
Here's the funny thing about Lattimore, and I'm sure I'm going to get crucified for saying it. He's right there on most of the plays.
Yeah.
He just can't help himself with either putting his hands on the guy, not turning his head, or flat out, he's right there with Pickens. That's a beautiful ball by Dak Prescott. I don't know what a corner can do on that.
I mean, a lot of corners would get beat on that play. The pass interference was the big one because, like you said, he didn't even turn his head. You know, he's in position. If you just turn your head, you could probably deflect the ball and create an incompletion. But
and the CeeDee Lamb touchdown, that's not on Lattimore. Now he runs into Quan Martin. That's not helpful.
Well,
but that
was
wasn't
comical.
His guy.
It was just comical.
Yeah.
I mean, that just looked like
his guy was running a deep go route on the left. And when he saw the ball up in the air, he came over.
Yeah, and CeeDee Lamb wide open
and tried to make a play. And then he runs into Quan Martin.
Look, Marshawn Lattimore haters that root for the Commanders, you only have 10 more games of him wearing a Commanders jersey at this point. It's 10 games left. He won't be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be picking up his deal, like whatever's left on. I don't think he has any guaranteed money going forward. It's bye-bye Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the player that Adam Peters thought he was when he traded for him.
You're right.
He thought he was trading for a Pro Bowl caliber.
I was on
corner.
That bus for a few weeks, if not a few months.
Yeah.
I'm off of it.
Is he worse than Benjamin St. Juste? Because that was the guy that drew all the ire for really a couple years in the secondary. Everybody blamed Benjamin St. Juste.
Yeah, he's probably not worse, but the problem is there are high expectations for Lattimore. Mm-hmm. And for St. Juste, after a while, nobody expected anything of him.
Yeah,
nobody expected anything from St. Juste. But now I'm guessing, like, it seems like Commanders fans, it's the same sort of venom for Lattimore that they had for St. Juste. Like, they just can't wait for him to be wearing a different jersey.
Yeah.
But people want to pick on him, and he deserves it. But it's the overall defense. Because as Jason mentioned, Javonte Williams looked explosive throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get consistent pressure on the quarterback. It was nice to see Martin break through. But you're rolling out Preston Smith and Von Miller. These are the things that a lot of people were worried about, the age of the defense.
And now it's showing. You know, it's really showing.
And they also, they lose the turnover battle 2-0. They're now to -5 on the season. They're tied with the Niners. I don't know how the Niners have the record they do with the turnover differential. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. Christian McCaffrey. That's out.
He's a beast.
They're tied with the 49ers and the Raiders. The only teams worse in turnover differential are the Dolphins, the Ravens, and the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, those teams are all in the cellar of their divisions and in the NFL. And if that doesn't get turned around, then the Commanders may be joining them.
But you also saw the fact that, you know, I understand that people are excited to see the younger guys like Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey didn't have a catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his best asset is kick returning.
Without a doubt.
He's really good at that.
Yep.
He could put you in good spots. But he, for whatever reason, he's just not one of those guys who's going to be targeted 10 to 12 times. Even when your top two or three starters are down, you just can't go to Luke McCaffrey.
I mean, Robbie Chosen had four catches yesterday.
Robbie Chosen had four more catches than Luke McCaffrey. I
mean, he had one catch in the NFL last year. One.
Yep.
And that's the guy that they had to turn to. It had to rely on.
Well, let's be real. The quarterbacks, I'm going to say both, missed open receivers too.
Yeah.
That wasn't helpful. I'm not saying Jaden had a bad game when he was in there, but he was off.
Mm-hmm. It was just one of those.
And third and fourth downs.
All the way around, it was a bad day.
Where they were converting at an obscene rate last year, it's not the same. And Dan Quinn even doesn't seem to have the same aggressive streak as he had last year. It was the first quarter, but they had a fourth down, middle of the field, thought they'd go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they punted.
Yeah, I mean, that's in the first quarter. That was the first quarter, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of can see that. I can't remember what the score was at the time.
But it already felt like you knew the Dallas was going to score.
But
at
again,
will.
He's got true, but he also he's down his top three receivers.
Right. So they have guys that can get open.
Mr. Bickle's here. How you doing, Mr. Bickle? Sorry. How you doing, Mr. Bickle? Bitter. Today's going to be a good one. Tonight it's going to be a fun one.
Also, 11 penalties. 11.
And 9 of those in the first half.
Right.
They had 9 penalties in the first half.
It's brutal.
So they cleaned it up in the second half. But
I think I about nailed the score, by the way.
I was thinking about
You're
that.
You're very close.
You were, you know,
I was maybe a point or two
props
off.
To you. You were right there. You said 45-25.
I mean, it sucks. But.
You nailed it. I thought the game would be a lot closer.
This tweet from our guy by Josh Kirby. How did Bickle take a wrong turn and punch in the wrong address? You'd imagine after years of doing the show, he could get to the station blindfolded.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. I was bouncing around listening to all these podcasts, all these like YouTube doctors, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm by the way, also exhausted. Listen to all these YouTube doctors about Jaden about hamstring injuries. I'm the 695 or something, right around the monument.
Okay.
So I just put in the microphone.
Okay.
1015 Half Street. Okay.
Yeah.
Plenty of time. Comes up, I hit it, start driving, I go, this is a little unusual.
Yeah.
Why am I over here? By the time I get to my destination at 5:54, it heard me say 1015 18th Street, which of course never on earth would I say.
Right.
I said 1015 Half Street.
But you didn't recognize where you were going? Like, what's your monument?
Unusual. It was kind of in the vicinity, a little unusual. I was like, why is it taking me back around the monument again? Oh, okay, whatever. I put in 1015 Half Street.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it came up 1015 18th Street. I didn't see the 18th. I just clicked the top choice.
You know what? At 5:30 in the morning, the brain just isn't a
brain
complete fog.
But I was bitter about it. Believe me, I was bitter.
Misery Monday claimed his first victim right there.
I was definitely right here. If you can ask me all about distal hamstrings, I think I know all about those.
You break it down for us.
I don't care what a distal hamstring is. I know that Jaden Daniels isn't playing in Kansas City. I'll just say it right now. There's zero chance he plays.
It sounds like it's a 1-2, 2-4-6.
Yeah.
If it's a hamstring.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find out today.
Well, I think it is, but we're going to be in the exact same boat. Don't know. He's going to push
Although
it.
Although they said he wasn't limping in the locker room after the game, but that doesn't matter. I mean, he's still painful.
Hopefully Mariota's awful pick is just out of the way. He doesn't throw that against Kansas City. At least he threw it in what was, let's be honest, it was a loser anyway. No, even if he didn't throw the pick six,
right.
They were losing that game.
They lost first of all, they weren't going to stop them. But they lost the game at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
And it was over.
Yeah.
Last I checked, neither Marcus Mariota nor Jaden Daniels play defense.
They do
that
not.
Is the big issue that we'll be talking about throughout the show.
It's a problem.
Is there anything Washington can do to fix their leaky defense?
Don't think so.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can call us or text us on the Main Street Bank text line. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. John Kime from ESPN.com will join us at 7:40. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL here on the Junkies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Get it for the fourth time. Prescott.
Oh, a lot of time. Oh.
Airs it out deep down the field. CeeDee Lamb breaks the tackle. No one home. Touchdown, Dallas.
A bad day in Big D yesterday. We're here to talk about it today. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Ben will join me at 12. The 44-22 loss over the...
I'm not in the stream yet, am I? You need me in the stream, don't you?
Yeah, I'd prefer it, but you know, if you don't want to show your face after a loss like that, I completely understand.
I'm potting myself up in the stream. My apologies. A little bit off today. 44-22, the final in Dallas. It seems like the loss itself was the least of the concerns. We've got a quarterback who is hurt again. And the defense is playing as bad as any defense in the league is right now. And look, last year they were able to overcome a bad defense because they were playing the likes of Deshaun Watson and Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler and Kenny Pickett and Andy Dalton. But this year, when you've got the likes of Dak Prescott twice, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, and still down the road, Jalen Hurts twice, dare I say it, the season feels like it's on the brink. And I promised last week that if they lost yesterday, I would not go down this path in mid-October with still 10 games left. But if Jaden's going to be an in and out of the lineup quarterback, well, that alone ends any serious hope of having a good season. But on top of that, the defense being in total disarray, it's worse than I thought it would feel here on this Monday morning following the loss yesterday. They're 3-4. They're obviously not out of it. They don't have the worst record in the league. But 3-5 looks like more than just a possibility. It looks like a probability heading to Arrowhead a week from tonight to face the red hot Chiefs. Now,
I said that the 44-22 loss against the Cowboys is actually the least of their concerns. Their biggest concerns out of the game yesterday are a quarterback who is hurt again. Dan Quinn said afterwards that Jaden Daniels will have an MRI today on his hamstring. It did seem like it was not a super serious injury. You know, he gave the thumbs up to his family. His mother and Quinn talked about after the game that Jaden wanted to come back in to the game and play. They wouldn't let him. So I guess that we could get some really good news today. You certainly, with this guy now through 27 games, not all 27 involving him, we're now on injury number 3 in 27 games. And I can do that math. That's an injury every 9 games. I know it doesn't work that way, but it's for emphasis to say, yeah, this was, with his frame, the number one concern that some of us had, and we are seeing now with him that a brilliant talent has to be available to play for his team to succeed, and we've got 3 injuries in 27 games and 2 already in 7 games this season. That is obviously a big, big storyline coming out of the game. And it's not just a weekly storyline, as in the lead up to the Kansas City game. There's a bigger picture conversation we have to have. And we've had it before, but now we really have to have, you know, I got so much on social media. God, thank God I don't look at it during the game. I really don't. But I look at it before the show. I mean, I must have had at least a dozen tweets explaining to me that as long as you let Jaden run and as long as you have him as a running quarterback, he's never going to survive. He got hit in the pocket. He got hurt in the pocket. Yes, the Green Bay injury was with him on the run, but it wasn't a designed run. It wasn't an option run. It was a scramble. Stop it with that. He is clearly a player that I think we're going to have to deal with this, you know, and that is going to be problematic because his talent is unmistakable. His impact on a game is unmistakable, and I'll get to his game yesterday in great detail when I get to my game take. But availability is the greatest ability, and it's possible he's going to miss more time in a season that, from that standpoint, the injury standpoint, has really gone sideways. And it happens to every team. You know, every team has years like this one, you know, and there's a long way to go. There are still 10 games, but it seems like, as NFL fans, right, when teams start this way, it typically continues this way. And you have those seasons in which you get bit by the injury bug. And Quinn said after the game, injuries had nothing to do with this. We don't make excuses. That's fine. We can talk about it. I know what injuries are in the NFL. They're a reality. They're not an excuse. They're real. And when they happen, they impact games and they impact seasons, period. End of discussion. You don't have to call in and say, next man up and all of that, you know, bravado. Everybody understands, yeah, in the fight, when you're actually in the fight, next man up. But when you're evaluating it, of course it matters. You'd have to be an idiot to say that injuries don't matter, that they don't impact games and seasons. And so far, this season has been impacted by the number of injuries that they have had. With that said, I'm kind of with Quinn yesterday to a certain degree that the biggest issue for them wasn't necessarily that they were missing 3 receivers, their 3 starting receivers. It was an issue. It absolutely was an issue. But they had a lot of issues yesterday, a lot in terms of why they lost that game. All right, so I want to just hear in the open before I get to the specifics of, you know, what was good from the game, what was bad from the game, and everything else. I do want to just start with this and acknowledge this for people out there like me who are massive Jaden Daniels fans and believers, and there's no reason, obviously, not to be, you know, after a couple of games this year where it wasn't exactly like it looked last year. He didn't play well yesterday. The offense didn't play well yesterday. Part of it is the limitations that they had at receiver. No doubt, to say otherwise, again, is stupidity at the highest level. You can say both things. It limited them, and also, hey, by the way, too bad, next man up, overcome it. And by the way, they have overcome it. I mean, they overcame it 2 weeks ago. I mean, they had Debo on the field, which was helpful. They nearly overcame it the other night with a less than 100% Debo on the field. I think that was clear Monday night. One less mistake, and they probably would have gotten through that game. But they weren't going to get through this game playing the way they played with the limitations or without them. They just didn't look right at any point. You know, perhaps they were on the verge of getting it together. You know, they had scored on a long drive at the end of the first half, and they were on the move in the third quarter. You know, we've seen bad halves or halves that weren't stellar, and then we've seen Jaden and the offense turn it around and be lights out in the second half. And they were certainly on the move in the third quarter, down 27-15. Would have been nice had it been 20-15 or 23-15 instead of 27-15. We'll get to, you know, how they ended that first half when I get to the game take. But it's very possible, and I had a friend of mine who is a coach in town just say, you know, they were going to score on that drive if he doesn't get hurt. And then all we were looking for was just one or two plays defensively the rest of the way, and it was going to be, there was going to be a chance. I tend to agree with that. I don't know if the defense was going to come up with the one or two plays that it was going to need to have. But they were on the move. Jaden had completed that 3rd and 10 off schedule to Chris Moore. And then it was the next play where not only did he get hurt, he failed to protect the football. And with that turnover, his 3rd in 2 games, and added to that, him leaving the game, there went any hope of some sort of, you know, legitimate or even long shot comeback against the Cowboys. So, look, Jaden and the offense didn't do enough. That was true yesterday. They needed to play a flawless game. He needed to be what he was last year in games, knowing what the defense was up against the Cowboys, and they didn't. Now, what's also true about yesterday's game, and why I am willing to consider that here on October 20th at 3-4, with still 10 games left, the season is a bit on the brink. It is potentially about to come off the rails a bit. And let me just be clear. I'm not predicting that it's going to be. I've watched too many NFL seasons like many of you have. You know how things just change. And a couple of weeks from today, we could be thinking something completely different about this team. But you can only say what you feel in the moment. And I know that there's a chance that it will turn around. But in this moment, the defense is so bad. It is such an abject disaster with, I'm not sure, an obvious answer. And because, like I said, there aren't Jake Hayners and Kenny Picketts and Spencer Rattlers and Deshaun Watsons and even like Daniel Jones in New York last year, there aren't a lot of those opportunities left. Or, you know, there isn't a Russell Wilson game against the Giants. There isn't a Geno Smith game against the Raiders. There aren't many of those left. Maybe the Miami game in Madrid. I am concerned that the big picture is not very rosy right now. And I think that leads me to what we've talked about a lot going back to last year. Is it a personnel issue or is it a defensive coordinator issue? I've told you guys for about a month running, I have been told, and the most recent was about 2 weeks ago, it's not just the defensive coordinator. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. But if you heard Dan Quinn after the game, it sounds like everything is on the table. He was asked about one again, the explosive plays. And how about the play that we came in with, the 74-yard touchdown pass to C.D. Lamb, where Quan Martin and Marshawn Lattimore did their thing. They ran into each other for like the seventh time this year. It's actually becoming a ritual, a weekly ritual, that they run into each other, they knock each other down, and allow the other team to end up with a big play. And there were a lot of big plays yesterday. And remember when Joe Witt spoke last week, I said, this isn't about DeAndre Swift's breaking of a tackle on a 55-yard, you know, touchdown. He, you know, had sort of pinned that on, well, that's going to be called an explosive. Yeah, well, guess what? Olamide Zaccheaus' drop would have been an explosive, too, of about 97 yards. Like, context, your defense was terrible on Monday night. It wasn't about one play and one missed tackle. It was much more than that, as it's been against any capable team. Joe Witt's been the team's defensive coordinator now for 27 games, 20 last year and 7 this year. And the defense during his 27 games has been majority of the time bad. And it's really bad right now. So Dan Quinn was asked about another 6 to 7 explosive plays that they gave up in the game yesterday. And here's what he said.
Dan, with those big plays keep happening, how frustrating, and first of all, why, I guess, and then, but just how frustrating is it that game after game they keep happening?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. We'll look at everything, man. We're going to look at everything to, you know, have a play that goes down the field and you know, throw over your head or a good battle. Like, I can live with that one, but the ones of the big explosive plays that I can't put my finger on, that's a lot for us to dig into. If I had one specific reason, I'd say this or this. But, yeah, we got, like I said, a lot to get better at, and it's definitely frustrating.
So Dan Quinn, going to look at everything. And by the way, if you've watched this for him, wow, he was not happy. He was legitimately not happy. And Dan Quinn's not a pound your fist on the table, expletive, you know, post-game coach. But you could tell he is on the brink himself of having had it with the defense. Now, there were other follow-up questions, and we'll play some of those. But the big takeaway, and it happened quickly, John Keim got right to it, is, yeah, we are going to look at everything. And let's be specific. The question was asked about the defense and the explosive plays that it continues to give up. By the way, I think he needs to examine everything, because I didn't love what was happening offensively yesterday. But after a game like the one yesterday, when another 6 to 7 ridiculous explosive plays took place, and by the way, now add to the defensive misery that they can't stop the run, which reverts to last year's biggest issue. They don't take the ball away. 3 total turnovers, takeaways in 7 games. Only the Jets have fewer in the NFL. Yeah, I think everything's on the table. You know, and I would say this, yesterday, just like Monday night, you can't walk away from Monday night's game and say it was all the defense when the offense had 3 turnovers. You can't walk away from yesterday's game and say it was just the defense when the offense had 2 turnovers, lots of penalties, lots of drop passes, etc. But it does feel like a moment to me where something might happen. Not sure if it will, but the defense is a huge problem currently, and then looking at the largesse of 10 games left in this season. You know, they've looked like a respectable defense only against opponents who were bad offensively or injured offensively. See the Giants, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Anybody that's had any capability whatsoever, and even a team like Chicago, who's, you know, okay, they have been torched. And when it came to explosive plays yesterday, Dan Quinn said he's going to look at everything. So what's he looking at? Well, he's got, in my opinion, five options. Number one, do nothing. Number two, do something with Joe Witt Jr. from a taking away his responsibilities as a coordinator, taking them on yourself as the head coach, or perhaps giving it to somebody else. That's option two. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away his coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, of course, is move on from Joe Witt Jr. 7 games into year two, because overall, the resume of 27 games is not good. And I've said this before about 100 times last year, another 100 to 200 in the offseason, and even a few times this year. The personnel ain't great. I get it. But there are a few players defensively who are capable. I mean, their two tackles, at least yesterday, Kinlaw all season long, are okay. Luvu is pretty good. Sanra still, we thought last year, could really play. They drafted a rookie in the second round who everybody thinks can really play. Yeah, there have been some key injuries, no doubt. Losing Wise, losing Armstrong in the game yesterday early was huge. But those are the options for Quinn. Do nothing, number one. Number two, do something with essentially demoting Joe Witt Jr. and either taking over the coordinating and game day play calling responsibilities yourself or giving them to somebody else. Option three is just make personnel changes. Option four is do both. Take away the coordinating and play calling responsibilities and make personnel changes. And option five, and let me just be clear, I think this is a major long shot. I don't think it'll happen. I think Dan Quinn would do something in the offseason, but not 7 games into this season. Because again, part of it is more than just the defense in terms of two losses in a row. They turned the ball over 3 times on Monday night. Hard to win a game -3. Now, you can say, I need to get some of those back. And they don't get any of them back. And yesterday, it wasn't like Washington's offense was matching Dallas's offense, score for score. But those are the five options. But look, the other thing is Jaden, back to him. You know, the offense. And the offense's biggest problem, and it's a conversation I know that we've had, but we need to have it again, is that number five is injured again. You know, this time it's a hamstring. A few weeks ago, it was the knee. Last year, it was the ribs. We don't know whether or not he's going to miss a game or games or any of the above. But the big picture on Jaden Daniels being injured for a second time in 7 short games this season and a 3rd time overall in the 27 games that he's been a part of the franchise is that it does feel like that this is going to be, you know, a theme every season. You know, he's going to miss some time because he's got a frame that isn't able to hold up necessarily against, you know, 17 games and the NFL talent. Yesterday, obviously, was, you know, all about him. There was only one way they were going to win that game and matching Dallas score for score is if he ended up, you know, putting on the Superman cape and doing what he did so many times last year. But he didn't really do that yesterday at all. And then he got hurt. This is certainly part of today's conversation. You know, we'll see about this one. It's new. It's a hamstring. You know, it's not a rib. It's not a knee injury. It's a hamstring injury. I would wager big money that during the course of his career, we'll have other parts of the body that end up being a, you know, central point of our conversation during football seasons. Again, yesterday was difficult for him, you know, before the injury. Limited at wide receiver. And, you know, then on top of that, penalties, drop passes, a run game that wasn't really existent. Maybe they should have tried more. I'll get to that when I get to my game take. Just penalties galore. But at the same time, he was able to overcome that all the time last year. You know, the situation being he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to rise above penalties and drops and a bad defense. And perhaps, again, I don't want to leave this as not a possibility explored, because I'll tell you, before he got hurt, I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, the drive at the end of the first half, and then they're on the move. He had the 3rd-and-2 run where he stretched it out to move the sticks. And then the 3rd-and-10, the off-schedule extend, and throw a ball to Chris Moore to move the chains. They're at the Dallas 39 pretty quickly, and they got a chance to make it 27-22 early in the third quarter. So we were perhaps on the verge. It's not like there isn't ample evidence that he is capable of going from a so-so half to a brilliant half in a game. We saw it against the Chargers 2 weeks ago. Really slow start and then brilliance the rest of the way without, you know, a great supporting cast. But he got hurt, and we'll never know on that. So here we are, you know, approaching the halfway mark of the season. Approaching already the latter part of October. And this is a season that's under siege right now. It's under duress for sure. They've been an injured team, and now they are officially a terrible defensive team. And they have just one NFC win. The upcoming schedule looks brutal, and their starting quarterback is injured once again. NFL seasons are weird, man. There's a long way to go. 10 games. We know, those of us that have watched them, most of you as well, that the league will make you look stupid for declaring anything in October. But right now, Jaden's health, the health of some key players on offense and defense, and what Quinn does about the defense are the issues that need some resolution pretty quickly. I'll get to my game take when we come back, the specifics on what I liked, didn't like, and more, and then give you guys ample opportunity to vent on this Monday following an absolute beatdown in Dallas to the Cowboys to fall to 3-4 with the Chiefs on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead on deck. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, when I'm able to boot us up, we're also on our live YouTube stream. Just go to the Team 980's YouTube channel, hit the like button, and hit the subscribe button when you get there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Brian and I have returned from Dallas, and boy, oh boy, that was an ass-kicking. Commanders fans, not a happy bunch, understandably, honestly. Plenty for us to discuss.
No one should be happy, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, they were outplayed in every facet of the game. At various times, it seemed like we had a ball game on our hands, and then the defense just could not get stops.
Yep.
You know, they give up the first touchdown, and it is way too easy. Dallas goes five plays, 66 yards, touchdown. Javonte Williams busts in over the right guard. Then they get the safety. Tressway makes a hell of a play. Percy Butler makes an even better play to down it at like the quarter foot line.
Yeah.
Duron makes a really good play to bring down Javonte Williams in the end zone, and you feel like, all right, momentum, right? Yep. Like, got something going here. They score. They go for two, which I didn't mind. Maybe we can talk about the two-pointer a little later. The way I looked at it is you kind of got a free possession off the safety. Being up one doesn't do you any good.
But they were trying to be more aggressive yesterday.
You knew you were going to have to score a bunch of points in this thing. So I wasn't mad at the two-pointer. They don't get it. Dallas, then they go back and forth a little bit, right? And just before halftime, Jaden leads a really good drive. It was a seven-play, 68-yard touchdown drive where Jaden takes it in himself on a snap that looked kind of sus. Like it looked like another where he didn't handle the snap.
That ball was moving a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
But whatever, he gets in. So it's 20-15, and there is...
It was 45 seconds.
45 seconds. So now with the dude Aubrey, the Cowboys field goal kicker, who is just such a weapon, I was kind of going into that thinking, all right, they're going to get three here, but then it's going to be 23-15. You're down eight. It's a one-score game. You're getting the ball. Cool.
Yeah.
Four plays, 74 yards later.
Yeah.
35 seconds, they scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that, I mean.
That was more, I think that point right there was kind of a backbreaker because the way my mindset was saying was, all right, we got a touchdown. We stop them here. We get the ball in the second half. You score again. Now you got something going on. And it did not work out that way. And I think the whole thing about it is, yes, most fans will point at one person. But you got to question the mindset of that opportunity there, basically being like impressed. And when you decide to do what you do to go at the quarterback and get no pressure on them, you're normally going to have problems. Because one thing we knew from the beginning of the game, they're throwing it up. And we saw one play happen on both sides. One side they called it, the other side they didn't. Those pass interference are going to be called.
Yeah, I mean, the pass interference on Lattimore for the first touchdown, they were both grabbing each other. Dan Quinn came to the podium last night and said, I don't want to blame this on injuries. We got beat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sit up here and complain about calls because they just got smoked.
No, I'm not complaining about the calls, but I'm just saying it is what happens. But when you are a cornerback in this league, you're going to be – they throwing the ball up on you. I watched Pastor Tan the other day. They going at him. The rules will tell any quarterback, let the damn ball go. And my question is, why don't we let more go?
Yeah.
Okay? And we can say whatever about timing, this, that, and that. Doesn't look like it's being designed to throw some deep routes. And we got guys that can run. Take the damn chance of getting the pass interference.
Sure. I mean, if you look at that last drive. This water just exploded on me. You look at that last drive before the half. Gay kicks it off to the Dallas 3. So it lands in the landing zone. Decent return from Turpin, but it's first and 10 at the Dallas 28 with 40 seconds.
Yes.
Dak gets sacked.
Yep.
They lose 7 yards. Dallas calls a timeout, but it's second and 17 at the Dallas 21 with 31 seconds before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
That is about as advantageous a spot as it gets for the defense.
Totally.
Like, honestly, you kind of think Dallas will just take a knee and take it to halftime. You already got the lead.
Why would they do that?
Lattimore, eventually we're going to open these phone lines up. Everybody's going to call and scream about Lattimore, and you're not wrong. But on that play, so Dak drops back, goes deep to Pickens. Lattimore's in position. Like, Lattimore played it pretty well. It was a perfect ball, and Pickens is a pretty damn good player.
Totally.
Made a hell of a catch. But, dude, you go from 2nd and 17, and you give up a 44-yard deep shot down the sideline. Mm-hmm. This, to me, is so indicative of what happened yesterday and the problems. 2nd and 17 at their own 21 with 31 seconds becomes 1st and 10 at the 35.
Oh, yeah.
And on the next play, where if you just think about it, they didn't call their last time out there. They only had one left.
Mm-hmm.
1st and 10 at the Dallas 35. They know they're in range for Aubrey at that
Hell
point.
Yeah.
They ran like a little draw.
And got, but what, 20-something set, mile left.
To me, they're setting up for the field goal.
Totally.
Like, the play call there is, okay, let's steal a couple points before halftime.
Yeah, but
except on the draw, you miss like five tackles, and he's able to go for 33 yards.
Totally. When you get that, then all of a sudden, now we got to try and score a touchdown. But the whole thing about
because you get first and goal from the two.
The tackling thing is still a problem to me. And I've said it, and I mean it. I mean it really about our team, because this team I really care about and I cover. But the whole league is like this. Nobody wants to tackle. But everyone want to complain about when somebody from the past says something about it. Hit, lay out, wrap up, hit the damn ground. I don't think a tackle is when you're standing up and somebody falls. You know, we have to find a way to get that done consistently. And the thing I said last night was that we are consistently inconsistent. We got to find a way to become consistently consistent to make some things happen.
I think, so I don't know where we are on this, right? My thought going into the Dallas game was, all right, if they're the team we think they are, if they're a playoff team, if they're a contender in the NFC, you go down to Dallas and you figure out a way to win this thing. Everybody's aware of Dallas's defensive woes. And none of that happened. Mm-hmm. So, like, we could call them consistently inconsistent. They just might not be that good. And yeah, but through seven games, it's...
But look at this, Jay. We're going to... This is what I'm... We can sit here, and I'm not going to just blame players. Everybody's involved with this, coaches too. We go into a game against a team that doesn't have a very good defense, and they look like rock stars against us. Other teams go against teams that have bad defenses, they look like they have a bad defense. We got to find something better to attack. I said it, and I'm going to keep saying it. We cannot try to do what we did when we don't have the people that we had. You got to adjust it some. And every player, this is a simple thing. Every player needs to look in the damn mirror. Every coach needs to look in the mirror and be truthful to yourself. Okay? Because as human beings, we lie to ourselves. We look in the mirror, we say, man, well, I did good. No, 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 no. I don't know many people. Deron might be able to say he did good last
Deron night. Deron played well yesterday.
Okay? He might be able to say it. Tress might be able to say it. Most guys can't say that. And I think the ultimate thing is you got to be truthful, and also you have to be able to hold people accountable. And that means I got to hold myself accountable. I'm going to tell you the truth. And I want you to tell me the truth. That's what mature adults do. And it's about time they have one of those like come to Jesus type meetings where everybody is truthful to each other, because what they had last year was accountability. I don't know if that is still happening this year.
Something seems off. I mean, listen, the injuries are obviously a factor. I think the way Dallas was able to stack the box in the run game, I do think there's like some direct correlation to not having Terry or Debo and really just not having a receiver.
Yeah, but they stacked the box. You got guys that can run. You have professional athletes. When they stack the box, do something and go over the top. Make them understand, oh, we're going to still try and do this stuff. But if you play into their hands when they stack the box, you're not going to have much success.
Well, it's also like at this point, we kind of get into what really matters zone, right? Like once Jaden got hurt in that game, it's like, oh, hell, what are we looking at here? Because it's one thing to go down to Dallas and get boat raced, but you live to fight another day. You got Kansas City the next week. What's going on? Then all of a sudden it's, okay, we got boat raced in Dallas, and now we don't know what's up with the quarterback. And we don't know what's up. So, like, we're going to do our best to not get speculative on that. It didn't look great. I know he gave the thumbs up, jogged off the field. I saw Jaden in the locker room after the game. He was Jaden. He was kind of doing his thing. There was some question if he was actually going to talk to the media. He ended up not talking. The Jaden injury is by far, like, the greatest unknown now.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking to Johnny Cakes Auville as he was walking out of the studio, and he was like, you know, what are the chances you think Jaden plays? What are the chances you think Terry, Jaden, and Debo all play? Like, it's hard. Right now, the injury situation is incredibly difficult, right? And you don't want to be... it's Monday. They don't play for a week. We'll learn a lot. DQ will talk today. They said Jaden's scheduled to have an MRI today. But removing the Jaden aspect of this, to me, I think there are real questions about how the roster was put together. I think that has been exacerbated by the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's real questions if the players selected, drafted, traded for have played to what has been expected. And then I think there's also real questions, particularly defensively, with these explosive pass plays, if everybody's being put in a position to succeed. Like, yeah. Either Dan Quinn last night, when he took a lot of time before he spoke to the media, but when he finally spoke to the media, he said, after a loss like that, everything's on the table. You've got to consider everything. And could that mean personnel changes, scheme changes, all of it? And he just kind of said, yes, everything's got to be on the table. What, if anything, do you think yesterday forced them to do, B?
Forced them to do it in what way?
I think there is value to being level-headed in the NFL and not reactionary.
Yeah.
But I think the way, honestly, the last month has gone, this is not reacting anymore.
That's not reacting.
We got problems.
But as he said, everything is on the table. And what I said is very similar to what he's saying. Everybody got to check themselves now. No one is in a position to think that their ish does not stink. No one is in a position to think that just because I call it, it's going to work. People have to decide and say, hey, are we doing something wrong? Can we do it a better way? Can we do it a different way? That question is for everyone. You know what I mean? When he says it, I think the thing of it is Dan is telling you everything's on the table. We need to look at everything. Now, I'll be honest with you. They're not going to overhaul this damn team.
It's hard to do.
They can't do that.
October 20th.
You know, they chose the people. And on top of it, there are young players on this team that show you promise. But a lot of times they don't get many, many opportunities. So if they're showing you problems and they're still not getting an opportunity, how are they going to get better? How are they going to show you they can do more? They got to find a way to, when you go into a season and you have a game plan, you understand and you think you know what you can get done. But once the main characters are no longer there, you have to change the script. And the young guys, when they come in, if they are not put in a position to excel or make the same type of plays that we saw them making in training camp, then that's not on them. We saw a lot of uncharacteristic things yesterday too. We saw a lot of drops. You know, we can't keep having that. But the ultimate thing is, listen, man, truth. You gotta have truth and talk to yourself and talk to your teammates, and everybody gotta come to a consensus that we have to do something different. I'm sick of hearing about today's football. Today's football. That's why it is. That's why that. Change today's football. Take a page out of yesterday's football and get back to it and be a little bit more hard-nosed.
gave up 409 yards of offense. Dallas was 50% on third downs. They had some of my notes are just a dark place, but in the second quarter, they had the 3rd and 12, right? Third and 12 defensively is your advantage. And they gave up a 15-yard pass to Ferguson. I mean, you heard me talk about it. It was 2nd and 17 with 30 seconds left in the half from deep in their own territory. See, that's an advantageous position.
It's advantageous. But, like, also it comes to a point, too, where if you watch the game, every time we're that slow, because you think you have players that can make it happen. Sometimes those players are not making it happen. You call something that is designed for the player to get it, sometimes the player is not executing the play. So when I look at it, and I know people will go towards coaching and player, everybody has a hand in this damn thing. Coach Gibbs will say it all the time. I'm saying it now. Everybody had a hand in it. And everybody got to change it up. Because when they call plays and you don't execute it, not on the coordinator. But if they call a play and the people waiting on it, that might be on the coordinator.
I think you got to really wonder both coordinators. Candy last night asked Dan Quinn, hey, you say everything's on the table to make changes. Does that include you taking over play calling duties? And DQ was like, I'm on the headset the whole time. I'm very active. I'm aware of what we're doing. I'm talking through big decisions. I don't think that's going to happen. But then he's like, but we do have to look at everything. I don't know that something is as simple as who's calling the defensive sets.
Mm-hmm.
DQ is not going to take over offensive play calling duties. You know what I mean? There's so many questions. For 2 weeks in a row, we've heard the opposing defense can't stop the run. And for 2 weeks in a row, Washington's been unable to run the ball. I mean, it was only 3 weeks ago, Bills coming back from L.A. with 150, two tutties, the Rookie of the Week belt, and the FedEx Player of the Week. Yesterday, he had 8 for 35.
Yeah.
The run game, maybe he had to get away from it because of the script. I'm sorry. Yesterday, he had 13 for 33. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 a carry. They started really well running the ball, and it just shriveled up.
Yeah, it did.
I feel like this might be a hot take. I think the best overall work they got and have gotten for the last 2 weeks at the running back position has been McNichols. McNichols in Blitz Pro was fantastic. Good.
Listen,
dude,
man,
he's so good as a pass catcher.
But see, Jay, this is the thing, though. I mean, just like as coaching and players, fans don't get the right to just beg for certain people and then don't want the people in there. When the other guy goes in there, start trying to switch back and forth. I mean, we've been saying McNichols and Rodriguez both are very effective. I think a rotating backfield, depending on who's on that week, is very, very perfect, very vital. But no, people don't care about that. They just want to go whatever they think and move forward. And that noise, I've said it to you, I've said it to many people. Everybody said they don't listen to outside noise. It doesn't affect them. It affects everybody involved in the building.
They listen.
Everybody hears. Sometimes, stop this coming out and saying, do this. And then when they do it, then you want to have a problem with that.
It's, this is the depths, man. This is, these are the bad times. And I was texting with Steve Sands this morning. And last year it did seem to, like, every bounce, every break went their way. They stayed very healthy.
Yeah.
The health is a disaster. They're not getting the bounces this year. But that's life in pro sports.
You heard me say this. Not many people get health every year. If you are good 1 year, the next year may be a problem.
And the thing that separates, you know, over the last 5-10 years, the thing that separates Philly, Baltimore, certainly Kansas City, hell, Tampa. Tampa's won that division 5 years in a row, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency, year over year. You want to be good year over year. And you know who does that? Mm-hmm. Our friend John Leahy.
Yep, John does that. You know, a recent sale that they found out, they reached out to John, and he was thrilled to receive an offer, which was $20,000 over the asking price for their Silver Spring property. Everything was smoothly, no stress, no setbacks, and the sale closed right on time. The client had previously been told by another agent that he wouldn't be able to make any profit at all, but he ended up earning exactly what he wanted. Who says there are no guarantees in life? Check out John Leahy's guaranteed offer right there on the website. You can get the ball rolling at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our good friend, John Leahy, and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Listen, man, it's no secret that the housing market, which was red hot like the Commanders in 2024, is a little bit more like the Commanders in 2025 right now. It's a little up, little down. If you're afraid of not being able to sell your home for top dollar anymore, check out John's VIP seller program. John has access to pre-approved buyers, and he knows how to create top demand for your home, getting you the most cash possible. He's so confident that he's going to get your house sold, he will guarantee it. Trust us. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
The Commanders are 3-4, and here comes the gauntlet. At Arrowhead, home in primetime, Seahawks off a bye, and then one of the best teams in football, the Detroit Lions, their season on the brink. After Danny yesterday, they got destroyed by the Dallas Cowboys, doubled up in the division 44-22.
I don't know that it will finish this way, because who knows? I mean, so much will happen as the season progresses. But I can tell you this, right now, this minute, they're the worst team in the NFC East. At this moment, as you and I are broadcasting today, they are the worst team in the NFC East, which featured a Giants team that looked completely inept for a while, now is playing decently inspired football, but they don't have the horses to be able to hold on to some of these leads, but had a really good Denver team dead to rights. Dallas just whooped your ass, and Philadelphia, you know, after a speed bump or two, is now 5-2 with some daylight between you, them, and the rest of the division. This is bad. It's not one of those, oh, bummer, you were short one player. If they had McLaurin there, maybe. Guys that are here, guys that are going to be part of this thing, got mauled, got mushed, got dominated, got destroyed. You were easily the second best team on that field yesterday, from coaching staff all the way on down. Disastrous.
You can listen to the show all over the DMV on our flagship 106.7 The Fan. Remember, wherever you go today, pause, rewind the show, where your therapy. The Odyssey app is how you can listen to us coast to coast. And of course, you can watch us in high definition. The stream is up and running. It's the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Where to begin after a 22-point shellacking? Commanders going to Dallas, getting their pants pulled down, and they got given a swirly. I mean, they got bullied in this game on the road yesterday. I was trying to think of the right word to use, and I was kind of getting my, you know, thesaurus out for this one. What is the best way to describe that loss? And what I settled on, Danny, was humiliating. That was, from a bygone era, humiliating.
Yeah, I've seen that game before with a coaching staff that, you know, players are already doing exit interviews and, you know, guys have one foot out the door and everyone's doing CYA type stuff. I've seen disasters like that, not for a team with aspirations.
It resembled the incompetence of the pre-Adam Peters, Dan Quinn regimes,
yeah,
to get doubled up like that in the East. Your quarterback is hurt again. Third time in less than a year and a half. And we're doing the, what's the MRI say? Might he play this weekend thing? This is an every several week situation, basically, going back to a month or so into last year. The defense got trounced by an elite offense, completely outclassed. They give up 38 points, 410 yards, 50% conversion rate on third down. And that was with the Cowboys being kind enough to take the foot off the gas pedal late in the football game. Offensively, undermanned with, you know, the wide receiver injuries, but you had your entire offensive line, including Sam Cosmi, coming back. You had your tight end room to help block in the run game. You had your running backs. And against four-man fronts, you averaged 1 yard per carry yesterday. So the cluster injuries at wide receiver, a problem, yes. But Zach Ertz was out there playing through some pain, dropped the ball two times. Sam Cosmi was back out there, rusty, struggled. Your quarterback was out there before the injury, and for the second time in as many weeks, careless with the football, lost a fumble, and oh, by the way, missed more throws that he didn't miss last year. 11 penalties yesterday, Danny. 11 mm-hmm. penalties. 11! That's so many! I was going through this exercise yesterday because I was trying to find when is the last time this team gave up 40 or more, lost by 20 or more, and committed 11 penalties. So I'm scrolling box scores, 2022, 2020, 2017, 2015, and I'm just scrolling. And they gave up 40 a lot more than you might think. So there was a bunch of times where I'd have to click on the box score, and it'd be 2 penalties, 5 penalties, 6 penalties, 7 penalties. 11 is so hard to commit. That's so many penalties. And the answer, by the way, is you have to go back 11 years to a 2014 debacle at the hands of the Giants to find the last time that a game that checked those three boxes happened for this organization. This was just a absolute disaster yesterday.
The only way you were going to win that game was if it played out the way that it kind of started, where you score, they score, you score, they score, you score, they score, and maybe you steal one with Jaden Daniels in the end. You clearly weren't stopping them. In that first quarter, right before the first quarter ended, you referenced one of the drops, a huge play that you don't know at the time is a huge play. Jaden Daniels hits Zach Ertz, who was old and slow, right in the hands on an out route. It's going to be 3rd and 2. If he just does a normal NFL football player thing, which is catch the ball that is directly between his numbers, hits him right square in the chest, the hands, whatever. It is, oh, my bad thing. It is your bad, but whatever. We'll live to fight another down. The next play, pass to the artist formerly known as Robbie Anderson, short of a first down. They punt. First play for Dallas, 74-yard touchdown, ball game. That's it. Off to the races. You never caught back up. You never were back in it because now they've got a couple score lead, and no matter what you were trying to do to claw out of that pit, I'm not saying that's why they lost the game, but that was the moment that it all turned. You don't know when that's going to happen. I mean, years ago, I've harbored on this one, or hammered this one for a million times over, against Kansas City on the road, Terrell Pryor dropped a slant route, which would have been a first down when Washington had a multiple score lead. Kansas City never looked back, scored every time they had the ball, Washington relinquished possession, and that was it. That was all she wrote. That's kind of what happened here. Defense can't stop anybody. They can't cover. They can't deal with running backs at this point because they're so tired of getting beat deep or deep middle or deep, short third. Offensively, they were so limited. Dallas played more man than you'll ever see because no receivers can get open and get separation. They looked helpless yesterday. They were just getting beat up behind the Circle K.
By the way, you just talked about the defense. Let's go there for a second. What an answerless group they are right now.
Yeah.
Do they have any answers for anything right now? And by the way, I see Commanders fans fighting on Twitter about this. I was just talking with Linnell and some other people in the bullpen about this. Is it the scheme? Is it the players? Is it the... Yes is the answer. It's not one thing.
Right.
We could all try to make it one thing if we want to. Why is someone obese? Is it their food choices? Is it the fast food every day? Is it the lack of exercise? Is it the overeating? The answer is probably yes to all of it, right? Scheme leaves guys wide open, sure. They also miss tackles at an alarming rate. Now, we're deep enough into the season that I don't know if I can keep blaming the training camp that they had that was pretty soft or, you know, the fact that nobody practices for so many stretches during the week because they have so many injuries and so many older guys that just aren't on the field. Although I would point out the best tackler on the team, who I've never seen miss a tackle, Bobby Wagner, doesn't practice all the time. So I don't know what the reason is, but they miss a ton of tackles. And they pass out big plays like you and me are going to be passing out candy in 11 days on Halloween. The Cowboys just have to come up to the front door in costume and say trick or treat. And then you get 74. How about these chunks that they gave up yesterday? 74, 44, 37, 33, 24, 18, 17, 17, 16, 15. That's not even automatic first downs.
It's like 20 Powerball drawings.
Come on, man.
My God.
This defense has no answers.
There's not, like, I could live with something going well on defense. And here's what I mean. You may give up big plays, but at least you're hitting the quarterback every other down because you're blitzing like a crazy a demon, knowing that you can't cover for more than a couple of seconds, so we're not going to have to. We're going to go all out. And we give up big plays, so what? Or we give up a lot of short stuff because we're terrified of getting beat deep. There's nothing they're taking away. As you said, there's no answer. Early on this year, they're actually doing a remarkably good job against running backs, especially given how bad they were last year. Now, you know, Atlanta exposed him to a degree with some outside runs, but still, you held Bijan Robinson below his season average as a runner. They had done a really good job stopping the run. Quarterback runs or some of the gimmick stuff on end-arounds or reverses here and there plays. Yeah, teams got him, but against running backs, they were doing a good job. That's no longer true. What, you know, to borrow from Office Space, what is it you'd say you do here? What can you go, well, at least we got this going. There is no at least. There is no answer. There is no, to me, fix other than dramatic action, which still probably won't fix it. Like, this is the room. Call your team meeting. You can air the grievances all you want. I've heard those hallmark moments. When you hear guys in press conferences with media scrums talking about communication. Oh, my God, it's Greg Winuski over again. Holy crap, we're doing Joe Barry 2.0. The plane has crashed into the mountain, dude. It is a disaster on that side of the ball.
Similarly talented teams play better on defense every single week. Similarly talented.
That's a fair assessment.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like they should be a top five defense or that they've got elite talent, like they spend all of their assets on that side of the ball, because you shouldn't, by the way. Because as you saw yesterday, a good offense is going to decimate a mediocre or bad defense. A good offense in this league is going to beat a good defense. The rules just allow you to. But can we stop pretending like there's no talent on defense? Because if that is the case, then boy, do we have some conversations to have on asset allocation. Marshawn Lattimore, they gave up a 3-4 and a 6-4, and they pay about $19 million to. He is a liability against good wide receivers, he was yesterday. Javon Kinlaw, who has had a great, at times, and I think a really, really good season to this point. Was he in Dallas yesterday? Did he make the trip or did he stay back with Debo? That's a $15 million man. Excellent season to this point. Very quiet performance. Drew a hold at one point. Last year's second round pick, Johnny Newton, outsnapped by Sheldon Day and Eddie Goldman. Goldman, who's retired twice. Sheldon Day, who was on the practice squad 6 minutes ago, outsnapping your number 36 overall pick from last year. That's not like you could be 61st and be a second round pick. This is 36. This is almost a first round selection who's getting outsnapped by these dudes. So if you're telling me, they just don't have a lot of talent, well, you should, because you gave up a 3-4 and a 6 for a corner, you paid $19 million. That means you got a really good corner, right? Because you paid $15 million to a D-tackle more than anybody paid at the position outside of, you know, two or three teams over the last couple of years for all-pro types. So you got a pretty good D-tackle to go with Daron Payne, by the way, who was a fringe all-pro at one point in time and played his butt off yesterday. You got your two linebackers healthy. Everyone's doing this, they're so injured. So Will Harris, the safety, goes down, and Dietrich Wise goes down, and now the defense just can't be counted on.
Now you can't stop anybody.
Come on, man. Really? Your one-year deal safety who makes a few million bucks, and your veteran defensive end brought in here to bring some size and help slow the rundown, those two guys are unavailable, and now you just become defense 31? I'm sorry. Uh-uh. Two linebackers, second-team All-Pros last year. You pay one $12 million. You pay one $9 million, who you've chosen multiple times to sign, and you give up 146 on 25 runs from running backs yesterday. Something's not adding up here, Danny. Something's not working for me. This does not compute.
So from the Greg Williams era here with Joe Gibbs 2.0, to me, that's my base philosophy about defense. Is if everybody does their job, you can be perfectly fine, even solid on defense. If you've got a good scheme, a good design, you know, Warwick Holdman, you just stay on the outside shoulder of the fullback or the tight end on this play. Or Ronaldo Wynn, you get upfield, but, you know, don't get too far upfield. You do X, you do Y. You can have a perfectly fine defense. To be the 2000 Ravens or the Legion of Boom or the 85 Bears or something like that, that requires yeoman stuff that I frankly wouldn't try to invest in. I think it's too fleeting. I think it's too hard year over year to have those kind of results. So your point, I think, is well seen. They don't have great personnel on defense. I think they've made incorrect calls multiple times over, most notably Marshawn Lattimore. Now, people are going to beat up Lattimore a lot today. I will too. It's not the deep, perfect throw, toe tap, George Pickens catch on the sideline, where great offense is going to beat great defense. That's an incredible play. I care about the times the guys are wide open, the separation. He can't run with guys. He can't get out of breaks quick enough.
It's actually interesting because the PI of 37 yards to the goal line was pretty damn good defense,
I thought
too.
That was good, yeah.
I actually think that shouldn't have been a pass interference.
I agree with you on that, actually.
But yeah, it's 50-50, and you don't get your head around in time, and occasionally it's going
to
get cold.
Yeah, he was waiting, tried to time it so he would punch it out when the guy showed his hands.
Yeah.
Right? I actually thought that was a decent enough play. Yeah,
and by the way, that's a reputation penalty. You're sure. One of the most physical, handsy, fouling defensive backs in the league, basically. So in that spot against a big physical guy like George Pickens, hand-fighting down the field, occasionally you're going to get a flag. But that 37-yarder, I didn't even mind his play defensively. I thought it was good. The 44-yarder dropped into the bucket was a hell of a catch and a better throw, and you can't really defend it any better. So that's, you know, 90 yards or whatever we just came up with right there against him on those two plays. But you miss a tackle on the first run of the game on second down and long. I think it was second and 10. He had a stop for 2 yards. He gets run over, truck stick, Javonte Williams, who ends up getting 9 to set up a 3rd and 1. 7 yards right there by missing a tackle. And then on the ensuing 3rd and 1, you give this weird cushion where you give this in route to CeeDee Lamb, and you're nowhere near him as he makes the easiest 13-yard catch you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff.
I care more about that.
That is annoying.
The in-breakers. Again, he can't get in and out of breaks quick enough to cover fast NFL receivers. And he struggles with big guys. That used to be his calling card. I'll out-maul Mike Evans sometimes. Wrong. He can't play. That decision is haunting them. And there's no alternative. It's not as if, like, Noah Igbinoghene is just this juggernaut that is in the coach's doghouse.
He was available for peanuts because he can't play outside, theoretically.
Yeah.
Another team decided that at some point.
Yeah, so Jonathan Jones coming back will help some, but come on, man. I mean, to me, they invested a lot of resources in several pieces. A lot of them are not paying dividends, most notably the draft class from last year. I mean, Brandon Coleman's inactive. Johnny Newton is getting outsnapped by Sheldon Day, to your point. Ben Sinnott is the backup blocking tight end. Their second-round pick from last year that was George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk 2.0 is the backup blocking tight end that's available on the occasional jumbo package.
I want to go through that whole draft class because every single player in that draft class from last year has taken a step back this season. We'll get into that. But to just put a bow on the defense, it is okay in this league where everything's designed around the offense and explosiveness and big plays to give up a lot of yards if you can either be great in the red zone, which hasn't been the case, or if you can generate takeaways.
Turn people over, yeah.
And what we talked about all week was they're going to get got. I think we even said at one point on Friday, they're probably going to give up a 65, 70-yard touchdown at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be these crazy explosives. It happened to be 74, play the Keystone Cops theme. I'm not really sure what Lattimore was looking at, but it looked like he was tracking the ball in the air and trying to catch a punt, and then Lamb cuts him off and catches it, and then Lattimore runs into Quan Martin, and they both fall down. 74 yards, one play drive, touchdown. Wasn't even their worst drive of the day somehow, by the way.
Right.
I think the one right before the half might have been worse than the one play 74-yard touchdown drive for Dallas.
That one was tough.
33-yard run where the Cowboys are just trying to get into field goal range, gets them down to the 2, they burn a timeout and say, screw a field goal. Let's get a touchdown.
They're like, oh, we didn't even plan on this, but that's fine. No, that's fine. We'll just score. We'll get a touchdown. Yeah, we'll do that.
It was a 30-second drive.
Yeah.
For 4 plays and over 70 yards, almost 80 yards. But 7 weeks now, Danny. 7 weeks of football. They have played 7 games. They don't have takeaways in 5 of them. You would think when you know, based on talent or scheme or whatever they want to internally blame it on, we're going to get got. We're going to give up some chunks. We're going to give up explosives. The whole point then is to scheme up the takeaways, to figure out a way to do that. And to Dan Quinn's credit, he says this is something they are focusing on quite a bit. The entire emphasis at one point, I don't remember if it was 2 weeks ago or last week, was more takeaways. It hasn't happened. Again, 0 of them yesterday, 5 out of 7, they don't have a takeaway. It's not like they don't know the problems. Like, Dan Quinn goes up to the podium yesterday, and I actually loved how he started his presser. He comes up and he says, we didn't lose this game based on injuries. I don't want to hear that. Meanwhile, in Vegas, after getting shut out 31-0, I don't know if you saw Pete Carroll's press conference, but he quite literally did the opposite. He went up there yesterday and said something to the effect of, I didn't think we'd be this affected by all the guys we had out via injuries, and we didn't really have much of a chance because of all those injuries. Give me what Quinn said over what Carroll said.
Agreed.
Every time. But at some point, it gets kind of old when you're saying, hey, we know we're not getting off to fast starts, but we're working on it. Another terrible start. Defensively, 5-play touchdown drive after you give up a 30-yard kick return. Offensively, you get the ball back and you go 3 and out. Thank God for Tress Way saving your bacon a little bit because the wheels were already spinning on the road. Hey, we know we've been really, really bad on the road now in every single game that we've played on the road. Certainly for the first quarter of the Chargers game and part of the second quarter. But this has been kind of the norm on the road. We're working on it. Dude, it's midseason.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot more time for you to work on it. Things are perilous here. The gauntlet's coming. You're 3-4.
Yeah, this isn't an October Capitals game, you know, where you're figuring out who what the line combinations are, working in a bunch of kids, you know, to you can afford a bad outing or 10. You're running out of time. You're 1-4 in the NFC. Again, you are a miraculous, unprecedented Broncos comeback from being tied with the Giants at the bottom of this division. I mean, the eye line needs to change. The idea that,
What about the playoffs? Or how, you know, will they rebound? Or what's the recovery rate? How are they going to come back and start playing better football? Can they? Like, the further we get away from last year, the more you realize that all those things that went your way, it really was magical pixie dust. It really was the magic carpet ride. Unprecedented, unsustainable things are just that. Unprecedented, unsustainable. Relying on that to continue was a fool's errand. I mean, I picked them to be 9-8 and just missed the postseason because of some injuries. Did they get there? Do I really think that this group right now can rally to get to that level? I don't know.
At this second, you would have to go under on 8.5. At this second.
I think so.
Now, I would ask
things could change.
Does Jaden Daniels miss extended time or does he come back in the next week or two? Number one. Number two, does he play at the level he did last year? Because if he's playing at the level he did last year, it masks a lot of things. You're in every football game and you'll steal a couple of wins. I don't even want to make today about Jaden Daniels because he's problem number 50, if he's even a problem. I'm not even sure that that's the right word to use. But we have to acknowledge he's not playing at the same level. He's missing throws he didn't miss. He lost another fumble in the backfield on the play he got hurt. And maybe that was just like the injury cost you to lose the ball because it's so painful or whatever. But that's two straight weeks where quarterbacks don't fumble where he's fumbled and just given the ball to the other team. These are things that didn't happen last year when he was your savior. So, yeah, getting to 8.5, I think, starts with him. We don't know his status at this point. The offense, by the way, looked average anyway.
Yes.
They obviously missed the receivers. That goes without saying. I don't think that had a ton to do with the loss, but, you know, if you want to chalk it up to that, go for it. It's a problem. And this regression has been real, and it has been loud. The charmed life of last year, I still remember we did the topic in the offseason where we talked about this piece. I think it was in the Washington Post where some analytics person wrote about them being the luckiest team in the NFL. And it was metrics-driven. It was based on when you played teams. And
dropped interceptions. You know, a number of things that
for your opponents
that are
with injuries.
Yeah.
And drops and all kinds of stuff. Your own injuries. And everyone's like, oh, that's ridiculous. You guys are haters or whatever. The injuries are piling up. I mean, the regression from a year ago where you were healthy is so loud. And it's gotten ugly, man. Yesterday was, tell me I'm wrong, Danny, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that was Dan Snyder,
I've seen that game.
Stuff.
I know that game.
How many times have you watched that game?
Yeah.
In Dallas, no less.
Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott now, when he's played against Washington, in Dallas, 7-0, 22 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Biggest loss of the Dan Quinn era, 22 points. Surpassing that week one game against the Bucs where they looked like a team that they didn't look like for the rest of last season. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.